Our speaker needs no introduction. He has been with us for several weeks. Michael Hahn is with us. There could be no one better, no one, than Michael to lead us in this discussion of global music in the church. Michael has recently retired here to Richmond from his position of Distinguished Professor of Church Music and Director of the Sacred Music Program at Perkins School of Theology at Southern Methodist University. As we're focused on global music, we're also glad to have with us here in church again Dr. Henry Mugabe and his wife, Hermina, from Zimbabwe. Michael, you have led us brilliantly. We look forward to your presentation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I really look forward to these times. I thought we just might keep this class going for a couple, 3 months. Because on this particular topic, when we're talking about the rest of the world outside the West, it's a little bit disingenuous to do one session out on it. But this is where I've actually spent most of the last 30 years of my own personal research, is figuring out what Christians do in other parts of the world. I would say my knowledge is a millimeter thin and quite wide, so I don't claim to be an expert. I kind of dip in and dip out in certain places and get some kind of a feel for it. But it's been a fascinating part of my life experience, and it changes your understanding of what Christianity is today. We'll encounter that a little bit as we go along. There actually was a method here. The first session was about God really as creator. You might think of the classic God. And the second two sessions then, the second and third session, with the resurrection, the incarnation resurrection focused on Christ. Actually, I could label this in the Holy Spirit, but we're not going to sing about the Holy Spirit. We're going to witness what the Holy Spirit is like and manifests around the world. So we're going to experience it, not just sing about it in this particular case. And so you'll be hearing some sounds you may not have heard before. I may invite you. There's no coercion. Although I'll be watching. No coercion, but I invite you to do some things you may not have done before, just to get a little feel for the world church, because I think for me what I realized over the years, without a connection to the broader community of Christianity, we run in the danger of an individual congregation, I'm not talking about you, but just specifically a congregation becoming a sect. It's our connection to the world church that kind of monitors and keeps us faithful in a broader sense of the tradition. And also, I think, to go back to J.B. Phillips, our God becomes too small unless we see God only in our own image, unless we can see what other Christians, how they view God in different places and times. So let's dive in. You'll notice that I have drums up here. These are drums from three different continents. The one on the left would be more of a conga drum from the African continent. The one in the middle is a bombo liguero from Argentina. And then over on the right, we have the tablas from India and Pakistan. When we start talking about the world church, we kind of switch from flutes and violins, not that they aren't involved in these cultures, but it becomes much more of a percussion base around the world. I didn't bring my whole percussion battery this morning. I thought we would just kind of ease you into it, although I've been talking to Bob about putting several percussion stops on the organ. And so so I want to start with just a little dip into Asia and realize that the danger of this is it's kind of stereotyping a little bit, but I'll try to give it some deeper legs. Bamboo is a part of Asia in about every way you can think of. Whether it's making furniture, creating a place of a beautiful, serene place, musical instruments, eating it, bamboo shoots and food, all sorts of things. And so a friend of mine in Taiwan has a hymnal called Sound the Bamboo. So a lot of the instruments and things have a bamboo kind of base. I want us to begin this morning with this prayer from Japan. I'll read the red part. And you read the white one. Eternal God, we say good morning to you. Early this morning, before we begin our work, we praise your glory. Renew our bodies as fresh as morning flowers. Open our inner eyes as the sun casts away new light upon the darkness which prevailed over the night. Renew our bodies as fresh as morning flowers. Open our inner... Oh, I've already done that one. Deliver us from all captivity. Give us wings of freedom, like the birds in the sky, to begin a new journey. Restore justice and freedom as a mighty stream running continuously as day follows day. We thank you for the gift of this morning and a new day to work with you. Amen. The picture comes from the island of Niijima. Colin and I had a chance to be there some years ago for a little holiday in July. Beautiful, but really hot. I mean, it makes the humidity is unbelievable. But we stayed in a traditional ryokan, I think it's called, the setting, and it was really a wonderful experience. So that was a symbol of that time. We're going to take a hymn that we sang last Sunday, and Baba suggested we sing it again this Sunday. We're going to kind of pull it apart just a little bit more for you. It's by these two composers here, a composer, Isayo Koizumi and Tokuyo Yamaguchi is a text writer. And we'll see a little bit how it, you take something from another culture and put it, how do you make it into a Christian song in this particular case. So let's go ahead and sing a little bit. I've invited, I had to have a percussion specialist from Asia this morning, so I've invited Ken Wilson. He has a doctorate in music, and so this is his chance now. So make sure your technique is... No, Ken, I'm sorry. Okay, Kathy, if you watch, you have to hold it like this. And then shake him, too. That is nice. Okay, and, okay, just try it. Oh, great. Now, if you don't get it right, I'll pass it over to these ladies. So... I'm going to make some sounds I didn't do in church because they sound like to Western ears a mistake. But I'm going to imitate a little bit the Japanese shakuhachi. So realize that what I'm doing is somewhat intentional. Do that with your voices. No, it's okay. Let's try it. Hear, O Lord, your servants gather, and we link with hand, looking toward the Savior's cross, joined in love we stand, as we seek the realm of God, we unite to pray. Jesus, Savior, guide our steps, for you are the way. Now, the first thing I want you to listen to is that the composer did not want this to sound like standing on the promises. And so he composed with a certain kind of style. For example, there's what we call parallel fifths. And so any of you that went to music school know that you had parallel fifths drummed out of you and your hand was slapped and you received a lower grade. But they're okay in other cultures. And then we have play us some parallel fifths, that. I mean the ones in the music. I'll do the jokes. Yeah. And then he creates a little counterpoint with the melody. It's called, there's a technique called heterophony, and that's what I'll be doing on the flute, is I'll play around the melody, but I'm not thinking vertically of chord structures. That's a very Western way of thinking. Much of traditional Asian music, now I'm talking about traditional, thinks much more linearly. So you might hear a band of five or six, seven players. They're basically playing, according to the idioms of their instruments, the same melody, but at different times, at different speeds, and embellishing it. It has a different kind of fullness, and it works. So, that's way too much, isn't it? Sorry about that. All right. So give us a little bit of that. Good. Now, if you had gone to the predecessor of the hymnal that you have, and you went through it, there would have been nothing like that. It would have had, everything would have been chord structures on everything was nice and neat and looked regular on the page. So when we sing it this morning in church, notice that it just looks different on the page. That's more than looking different. It sounds different. One of the issues that we have about bringing music like this into our context is that it changes the soundscape. We have a soundscape that is comfortable for us, and it varies from church to church. When I grew up in the Baptist church, you know, Sunday morning was a certain kind of more organ-based soundscape. Sunday evening was organ and piano, and then we had other kinds of instruments. Wednesday night was strictly gospel piano. There were different soundscapes for different services. If you go to various kinds of congregations, you'll find the instruments used, the sounds change. So that in and of itself is a theology. Do we have an openness to the other, even in sound? Changes the dynamics. So look at this first stanza. Again, the idea of joining hands in Asia is not the normal way. You don't walk up to someone. Colin, I think I better do you here. Now, I just moved from Texas, and so you'll understand. Hi! Thank you, hon. That's enough. That is not going to work in Asia. At the end, we'll do a little greeting, but the idea of walking up and touching someone. So when you're joining hands in a pan-Asian culture like this particular one, where people came from 25 countries or so, many of which have been occupied by Japan just 13 years before, the idea of holding hands, symbolically or otherwise, was a strong statement of unity in Christ in spite of all the cultural differences, the political differences, things like that. You just don't walk up and hold hands in that particular, most of those kind of context. Jesus, Savior, guide our steps, for you are the way. If you're a Taoist, you might have another definition of way. So this points that the way in this particular multicultural, multi-religious environment is Jesus, in this particular case, clarifying that aspect of it. So there's always much more beneath the text than we think. Let's sing the second stanza. Of course, incredible diversity. To call Asia a continent certain countries like India, every state has a different language or multiple languages. It's much worse than going from Chicago to Texas and hearing different English. Amazing diversity. This idea of calling age and youth, there's quite a number of hymns from Asia that mention age and youth or some form. And it really signifies this concept of filial piety. Have any of you gone to see the Crazy Rich Asian movie? You don't have to raise your hands. But, well, they mention filial piety. It's the sense that a child has in a family of caring and respecting the elder. My kids demonstrate it perfectly. And I know many of yours do as well. But there's a responsibility that goes both ways. The elder's role is to instruct, and the young person's role is to care for that elder, especially as they get older and those kind of things, filial piety. So that's implied by that statement. And then this idea of an aged teacher, a sensei kind of person who not just comes to the classroom and, you know, once a week or twice a week and instructs, but lives, is a living model. It's much closer to Jesus' rabbi, actually, than our kind of way of thinking. And I studied a couple of traditional Asian instruments, and there's a much different thing. So I had this one really strange instrument. I thought Colin would leave me as I learned to play it. We were in Thailand, and I was working hard on it. So in an American context, you know, we kind of prize creativity and that's novelty. So I like the sound, so I learned on this Thai instrument, O Shenandoah. And I played it for my instructor, who was not impressed. Basically, the concept was you will play what I tell you to play, and when you're as good as me, then you can play what you want to play. But there's this idea that the rabbi, the teacher, dwells with the student and has a tremendous impact on the student's life in a much different way. And I think the Asian concept of that is implied here. Let's sing the next one. Last week, I mentioned there's a phrase that is a little window into the atom bomb. Have you figured out what it was? It's the very first line. Nature's secrets open wide. Now, in a good hymn writer doesn't say, atom bombs blew up in our country. They don't. They veil it in a certain kind of language, but that is the reference, and then you can tell as it follows. Weary souls, distressed, endless strife. So it's a way of acknowledging Hiroshima and Nagasaki in that context of that hymn. And then out of it, the healing aspect of Christ, you are the life, comes from that particular one. And then the final stanza does what many hymns do. It turns into a prayer. There'll be a test next week, and this will be on it. You can spot a prayer, especially in the final stanza of a hymn, because it usually involves imperative verbs. Grant, O God, an age renewed, filled with deathless love. Help us as we work and pray. Send us from above. Truth and courage, faith and power needed in our strife. Jesus, Savior, be our way, be our truth, be our life. So we switch that from being about the way and the truth and life to praying for how that impacts our lives. Let's take it a tad slower. There's too much gospel song in your plane. Da, 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 da. I don't know any hymn on John 14:6 any better than this hymn, the way it expresses that particular passage. Now, I want to take a little further on this. This would be a traditional gagaku orchestra. This is the music of the emperor. Why would Christian composers, a composer choose music that was only the special music of the emperor to write a Christian piece to? Now, I know musicians well. Now, Bob is an exception here because Bob does not participate in this kind of subterfuge. But a lot of church musicians are involved in subterfuge. We do things, sneaky things, very sneaky. You don't realize it until it happens, and then we always do things first and ask for forgiveness later. But Bob, you don't do that kind of thing. And so the emperor had his own musicians. If you were, they were all men, and if you were the son of a shakuhachi player, that instrument, the flute on the right, you probably, your son would be a shakuhachi player for the emperor. It was a lineage that went back hundreds of years. You had your own forms of entertainment. We might call it, or plays, or certain art forms that were just the emperor's. And there was a whole folk tradition outside. So you have this folk tradition that the composer could have drawn upon, but why did he choose the emperor's music? Well, here's just a little sample of what's called the gagaku mode, which, if you look in the hymnal, it says gagaku mode. Now, he didn't take a melody from it because the melodies are very long and go on forever. I'm just playing you a little snippet. He took the mode of that and he devised the melody out of the chords that came up with that particular mode, the notes that made up the scale. So this was his original inspiration. That would probably be enough. So the same scale is used there as is used in the song we just sang. That scale would only be used in the emperor's music. Now, there's a couple of theories, and I plan to check with Koizumi in heaven just to make sure. You know, one of them simply could be this was an early attempt at doing Christian music in a Western style back in the 50s, which would have been early time. But I know musicians. First of all, he wouldn't have done this before the war. It just didn't happen. Like, it would be a bad idea. But the emperor had no clothes, they discovered. And so I think it was a way of saying the emperor is no longer the way, Christ is the way. Now, I've taken more time with that, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a feel. We're going to do one other piece. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Bob. From the Filipino composer Francisco Feliciano. I was with Feliciano on a couple of occasions, extremely creative. And to show you what the inspirational basis is, much different, I'm going to try to get out of the way here. And I want you to participate in a different way. I'm not putting the words up, because it would change the modality in which you accessed it. So we have here this very placid scene with rippling water. I'll explain that later. I'd like for you to find just a comfortable position, and I want you just to use that as a meditative scene while I sing, but I have a part I want you to do that's very important. I'm serious, it's very important. You keep that going this whole time. Take a breath, come back in, just keep it going. And since this is a very talented group, if some of you would like to sing, keep that going. Ken, I'm going to need you on this one. I'll give you a nod.
¶¶
are my God. In silence I marvel at the universe, the world it contains, its beauty, its harmony. Creator of such perfection, who else could it be? Come, listen to the trees, the green fields, the rivers, and the morning breeze, and the birds in the air all singing their Maker's praise. Creator of countless wonders, who else could it be? Yes, I am filled with joy and breathe in the presence of the Lord my God. Your praise I will sing, your power declare in chant. And when I am moved to worship, peace reigns in my heart. So, have you ever done that in church before? Well, the inspiration comes from actually a Buddhist meditation exercise for this music. One where you drop a pebble into a still, glassy pond, and then you see the concentric circles expand, and then finally they come back, and then it returns. So that was his idea for this melody. Still, I search for my God. In silence I marvel at the universe, the world it contains, its beauty, its harmony. Creator of such perfection, who else could it be? All of a sudden you realize that the way we conceive sound, the way we conceive music, how it relates to the world around us, is not the only way. I'm not saying it's a wrong way. I'm not saying it's a lesser way. I'm just saying it is not the only way. Folks, we desperately need the church to realize that there are other ways, especially in the world we live in right now. If we can't admit the other, and by that I mean the presence of the other, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, and something as simple as a little bit of sound change, how can we admit the other in our lives in many other ways? I'm going to go off to preaching here if I'm not careful, so I'll go back to music. So he takes phrases from Psalm 19, Psalm 8, inspirational ideas, and a very different kind of experience. Now, why didn't I put the words up there? Because we would be oriented to trying to figure out the meaning of the words rather than just taking it in. And I watched you. Some of you didn't look up there. You looked at me. No, I'd look up there. Look up there. Because that's where the action is. That's where the action is, this idea of a little bit different experience. By the way, that was some of the best humming I've ever had in a group. Well, I want to move ahead. I get excited about this stuff. We're going to move on down to Latin America. And I want to take this Lord's Prayer from a base community, a base Catholic community, and one of the things that would be done with the priest in Latin America would be that they would take a passage of scripture, and they'd take a verse at a time, and then they would ask the communities, the campesinos that couldn't read or whatever, to talk about how that scripture related to their own lives. So I'm going to do the Spanish, and then you do the interpretation from this Christian community in Nicaragua. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, así en la tierra como en el cielo. El pan nuestro de cada día, danoslo hoy. Y perdónanos nuestras deudas, así como nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. Y no nos dejes caer en la tentación. Mas líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por los siglos de los siglos. Amén. Sometimes when I'm in different places around the world, I take this exercise and I have different groups form out of their own cultural context their response to the Lord's Prayer. What does it mean in your specific situation? And it's really interesting to get people thinking that way. I was with a group, a friend of mine in Geneva, Switzerland, and she and her husband had a church from Latin America, primarily from Brazil, and some other places, some Spanish speakers as well. And I was asked to do the Sunday school class that morning. So I did it in the Lord's Prayer, and we sang several versions of it in Spanish that were available from Latin America. And then I just had them have a discussion groups, and I said, the question is, which of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer is the one that speaks to you? They didn't go in the discussion groups. In unison, now keep in mind, these were mostly domestic workers that were there sending money back to their various countries throughout Latin America, Colombia, various places in Latin America. In unison, they said, give us this day our daily bread. They didn't have to wait. Now, would that have been the first one you would have come up with? I'm not saying, it just shows the difference. It just shows the difference. It wouldn't have been the first one I would have come up with. You can tell I've not suffered for daily bread too often. But it just changes the perspective of that. We're going to sing a little song, and this will be scary for some of you. We're going to do it without music. Okay? Because much of the songs I teach are just oral tradition. So just look over here. Sing after me. Glory to God, glory to God.
Glory to God, glory to God.
Glory in the highest.
Glory in the highest.
To God be glory forever. This group right here, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Keep it going, hallelujah, oh, this group, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. Oh, you're sounding good, now we're going to have more fun. Gloria a Dios, gloria a Dios. Good. Gloria en los cielos, gloria en los cielos, a Dios la gloria por siempre, a Dios la gloria, not bad, a Dios la gloria por siempre, por siempre. Alleluia, amen, amen, alleluia. Amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, amen. That's a very different kind of singing experience. Looking up, looking out. And it's the kind of thing that there was no rehearsal, we just did it. It's a call and response song for just that kind of occasion. It might be sung in some situations when you bring the gospel forward to be read. It might be sung as a kind of like we'd sing a Gloria Patri in various kinds of situations. So much of the music that I deal with are those kind of shorter forms. Let's go on to another one then. A friend of mine in Argentina just had a nice email discussion with Pablo this week. A Methodist pastor and musician in Argentina who has been at the forefront of taking indigenous kinds of music and putting them into Christian song forms. And this is one of his most famous ones, El Cielo Canta Alegría. Listen to the version of his group singing it, Música para Todos, Music for All, he calls it in Argentina. That total soundscape this morning. Good, good, good. So here's the part I want you to learn. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Oh, very good group. You all should be in the choir. Bob wants you all in the choir. Alleluia, alleluia. They only have tenors and sopranos in Argentina, so you did quite well. You're closer to heaven that way. Very nice. Let's try that together. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. El cielo canta alegría, alleluia. Porque en tu vida la mía brilla la gloria de Dios. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. So, he takes a folk form, the carnavalito, which sounds just like it is, a kind of a fiesta piece, a celebratory dance. So if you heard this and you're a good Argentinian, know your folk music, your feet would just kind of want to start to make certain little dance patterns. It's a dance form as well. You might get a little partner in dance. So we can tell right away this is a not just a happy song, but a celebratory song. And that sets the tone for it. Well, back in the 60s when he did this, it was like, no, no, not in church. We have to sing translations of European and North American hymns. And that would be it, because there was a certain sound acceptable in church. Well, 50 years later, what Pablo's done has come to, now everyone knows this song. But he had to sing it in extra liturgical situations. There would be like an ice cream social, and he could use a song like this, kind of like a chorus, you know, you used to sing outside of morning service. Well, that would be the way he would introduce them. Then he put this little thing at the end. Hallelujah! Try it. Hallelujah! What a tenor section, soprano section. Excellent. So, he borrows a little motif from the gauchos, the cowboys. When I was in Texas, this was especially meaningful. And so they have their cattle, they ride on the plains, the pampas. And so before the times of walkie-talkies and all that kind of thing, then they would give the lead gaucho, the cowboy, would give instructions with that high, open sound. Hallelujah! You say, a la izquierda, go to the left. A la derecha, go to the right. A la, oh mio Dios, oh my God, we're going over a cliff. The cowboys would pass that high sound over all the noise of the cattle on. And he incorporates that little melody in his song in that way. So let's give you just a little chance to sing the Alleluia one more time. Heaven is singing for joy, hallelujah. For in your life and in mine will always bear witness to God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. By the way, this is taken from a restaurant where I was in Argentina, and these are the things they would swing around to stop the cattle, you know, catch them around, and they play games with these, and they throw them at each other in this restaurant. That was, anyway, that's free of charge. A song I picked up from Brazil. I hesitate to sing this because I know we have a Portuguese speaker here, and I just want to warn you, Dan, that it's very, my Portuguese is very Spanish-y sounding. But a song that I found extremely powerful, I directed music for the World Council of Churches in 2006 in Porto Alegre, and this was probably, put it in sort of a crass way, the hit song. I want you to listen to it once in Portuguese. Oh, I guess I will need you, hon. Thank you. Well, I always need you, but I mean, right now I... Pelas dores deste mundo, Senhor, imploramos piedade. A un só tempo geme creação, teus ouvidos inclinam ao clamor dessa gente oprimida. Apressa-te com tua salvação, oh tua paz, bendita herminada coi justiça. Abraça o mundo inteiro, tem compaixão. O teu poder sustenta o testemunho de teu povo. Tu reino venha a nós, Kyrie eleison. I wish I could tell you how 4,000 people singing that sounded. Especially with the power of that text, go back. And I remember a little over 10 years ago, and I was in Dallas teaching, we had Katrina. And a lot of the students and staff and faculty had family members in that area that were affected. And we had a service within 2 or 3 days. And I was looking for a song that my seminary singers could sing that would express that feeling. And I looked and looked, and this was the one I came up with. For the troubles and the suffering of the world, God, we call upon your mercy, the whole creation's laboring in pain. That wonderful phrase. I forgot, what is it? It's on your program. What scripture is it? What is that? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Lend an ear to the rising cry of help for help of oppressed and hopeless people. What cinched it was not that first part, the creation's laboring in pain, but all those people on rooftops, the dome where people were gathered, and it was under those horrible conditions. It took a song from a culture where they experienced those kind of things, I think, to really identify for me the feelings and the music of that moment. And then the refrain, we pray for peace that comes from making justice. Cover and sustain us. And then the classic prayer, have mercy, Lord, Kyrie eleison. We pray for power, the power that will sustain your people's witness until your kingdom come. Kyrie eleison. I suppose I would be one in the Lord's Prayer praying for your reign come now. I'm not just waiting for pie in the sky by and by. And I think those people on rooftops in New Orleans area, in the dome, the sports dome in the arena, we're not wanting to wait until heaven for God's reign to come on earth. They needed it now. And I found this song to be quite powerful. I'll take my... Well, let's move on quickly here. I get kind of excited about this stuff. Okay, well... give a little time to Africa. I want to start with a song that I learned in Nigeria in 1989, almost 30 years ago. The president of the Nigerian Baptist WMU taught this song to me. And so we're going to do a little Yoruba this morning. Did any of you speak Yoruba? I just You never know. Seriously, I have run into congregations where Yoruba speakers were there. So I always have to check and make sure. So say after me, wa, wa, wa.
Wa, wa, wa.
That's the imperative form of the verb to come. Come, come, come. E, mi, mi, mo.
E, mi, mo.
It's a tonal language, so medium, low, low, high. E, mi, mi, mo.
E, mi, mo.
Holy Spirit is the word. Wa, wa, wa.
Wa, wa, wa.
Again, come, come, come. Alagbara.
Alagbara.
Almighty Spirit. And then my favorite part, wa-o, wa-o, wa-o. When you put an O on the end of an imperative verb, you double its strength. Come right now, we can't wait. I had a number of students at the Baptist Seminary in Obomosho, and I never forget, they sometimes would mix African syntax with English. And this student comes up after class, and they'd had an assignment due, and he's looking very downcast about it. And he goes, what's wrong? He says, oh, professor, I do not have my assignment. I am sorry-o. I mean, when you're sorry-o, you can't really get lower than that. And so sing after me. Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo.
Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo.
Wonderful enthusiasm. That's great. Wa, 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 alagbara.
Wa, 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 alagbara.
You're doing well. Wa-oh, wa-oh, wa-oh.
Wa-oh, wa-oh,
wa-oh. Good, now, take away violins and legato instruments and think drums. Okay, I'll just have to give a little semblance here. Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo. Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo. Lagbara. Wa, 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 alagbara. Wa, oh, wa, oh, wa, oh, wa, oh. Now, what we're about to do is invitational, but the president of the WMU in Nigeria said, I could not teach this song unless I taught you to do this too. As you're able, please rise. Put everything out of your hands. Because next time you're in Nigeria in a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or any church, they all sing this song. They use this often as processional. So they raise their arms up. Now this is, okay, way up there. Yeah, this doesn't count. Way up there. And they bring the Holy Spirit down on wah-wah. Okay. Are you getting this on camera, buddy? Good, because I want this to go in a live feed on the website. Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo, alagbara. Wa, 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 alagbara. Wa, oh, wa, oh, wa, oh. Wonderful. I can't tell you. Now, we're almost there. Nigerian women especially, what they do with their hips is incredible. And so it's a little hard. I'll take two out of three, singing, dancing, or doing the motions. But I want to see some hip action, just a little bit. The aisles are meant for dancing. Spread out just a little bit. Very nice here. Okay, let's just see what can... Oh, you are good. And that's a little too much. Okay, here we go. Wa, 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 e, mi, mi, mo, alagbara. Wa, 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 alagbara. Wa, oh, wa, oh, wa, oh, wa, oh. I'm too excited. Please see it. So, you know, I'm thinking, next Sunday being my last Sunday, I'm really thinking maybe we need to do this in church. And then I will be leaving town right away. So this comes from an indigenous Christian denomination, indigenous to Nigeria, called Aladura. And then a good friend of mine, again, I just had a correspondence from Patrick this week from Zimbabwe, Patrick Matsiganiri, who I've worked with, a Methodist musician, been to my school in Dallas several times. And one of his signature pieces is Jesu Tawapano, Jesus, we are here. Listen just a little bit to him in his African University choir singing it.
Jesu Tawapano.
Henry, do you know Patrick? He lives in Mutare, outside of Mutare. Know of him. He's a great guy. So we're going to sing a little Jesu Tawapano, very easy. But I want to talk something specifically about this. So Tawapano, say, will you say the lines for us? I want to hear it in Shona right. Can you read this for? Let's try that mark. Jesu Tawapano. And then the last line. Tawapano Muzita Rain. What do you think? Is it okay? Dialects. Okay. Okay. Tawapano? Okay. So you can use one or the other dialects. You can Tawapano or Tawapano. All right. Sing after me. Jesu Tawapano. Good. And don't be afraid to make a mistake. Sing out. Give it a try. It's better you sing with heart. If you make a mistake, God can handle it. Henry will forgive you. One of the things, I'll just talk about people that look like me. Some of you look like me, so it may apply. We don't like to feel incompetent. Get over it. I'm quite serious. God works with you when you're vulnerable. When you think you know it all, God has a hard time working with you. Sorry, I spend a lot of time doing this, and I go to preaching pretty quickly. But these are things I've had to get over myself. Always feeling like I would rather sing with enthusiasm and make a mistake and be corrected than I would to sing softly and act like, oh, I don't want to make a mistake. So give it all you got. Jesu Tawa. There you go. Jesu Tawa. Jesu Tawa Pano. Tawapano Muzita Renu. Oh, you're sounding great. Do it again. Jesu. We'll make some harmony up. Tawa, Tawapano Jesu. Good. Tawapano Jesu. Tawapano, Tawapano Muzita Renu. So I'm in a service in Harare. In a church. I don't know any Shona except what I picked up in songs. And so I'm listening to the sermon. And in that particular Sunday, there was no translation for me. So I'm just listening and watching people. All of a sudden, I hear the pastor say, Tawapano. So, oh, I know those words. We're here. And then a little bit later, the people started saying, Tawapano. Then he'd say something else. And he'd say, Tawapano! And it got this litany going back and forth. So later I asked the companion that had taken me to church, said, what was going on? And he said, well, you know, sometimes our songs don't seem to be saying much, but they're more like proverbs. They, of course, you're dealing with a proverbial culture where, unlike me, you know, you'll find out everything I have in my mind. The cultured African, especially sub-Saharan, will speak in a proverb, and they don't want you to lose face, but those around say, oh yeah, okay, I get it. What's really being said here. And it allows people to carry on the conversation, but not to lose face. And he said, well, this is kind of like a proverb. He said, it's a miracle that we are here this Sunday morning. Inflation is high, and our family, we don't have enough food. But, Tawapano, we're here. Almost all of us have family members who have HIV or AIDS. But, Tawapano, we are here. My father is off in Harare working and sends money back home so that we can survive. But, Tawapano, we're here. I can't afford to spend money on public transport on Sunday mornings because I just don't have it. So I walk to church for 5 miles. But Tawapano, we are here. So all of a sudden you see there's a much deeper meaning. And it's not I am here, which tends to be a Western thing. It's we are here. And what's the purpose? You, Jesus. So that changes the whole meaning for me quite a bit. Henry, is there anything you could add to this? But it was a good lesson for me because, you know, I like five stanza hymns with all sorts of metaphors. But then this was extremely powerful, too, in its own form. So,
the other thing is, if you listen to what was being said, you know, it's not fixed that the person who was leading.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, what he's referring, yeah, and so, for example, at the very beginning here, when you hear what Patrick's singing over the top, that's improvised, and so the leader can contextualize it to that very day while the people keep the regular pattern going. So it's like a prayer going above the song. And that really is a powerful... we see this some in certain African-American gospel styles as well. Well, I'm going to have to skip over some of these others. I'll give you a little taste. What time is it? Oh, my goodness, it's that time. Maybe I'll do a little bit of this next week to finish it out a little bit. But this is Sunday morning in South Africa in a township. Where I was some years ago. But just a little, we'll close off with a little benediction here from a little church in Mexico. Let's read it together. Give us, Señor, a little sun, a little happiness and some work. Give us a heart to comfort those in pain. Give us the ability to be good, strong, wise, and free, so that we may be generous with others as we are with ourselves. Finally, Señor, let us all live in your own one family. Amen. Thank you, folks. One more to go.